The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning and welcome to everyone. And let us begin with the words as printed in our bulletin. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
I invite all those who can stand to stand now for our opening hymn, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you.
Streams of living justice flow down upon the earth.
Together we will experience God in word and in sacrament and in the presence of each other. Let us continue now with our confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, our Creator, our Protector, our Wellspring of Life. Trusting that God receives our words and the meditation of our hearts, let us confess our sins. Merciful God,
you speak blessing and compassion into the world. Forgive us for the ways we act with judgment, cruelty, or indifference. We ignore the needs of our neighbors. We resist your call to oppose injustice. We give in to scarcity and fear. We assume the worst about one another. Cleanse us from our faults and release us from show us your loving kindness. Restore our hearts and repair your world, that we may live in Christ's ways. Amen.
God proclaims these words of assurance. Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. In Christ, you are forgiven. In the Spirit, you are made free, refreshed by the waters of mercy. Live anew as beloved children of God.
Amen.
Love of peace and song.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Living God, in Christ you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace, and in the renewal of our lives, make known your glory, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
And now we invite our children to come forward, and knowing that our children are all on vacation this weekend, welcome my children. So I have a question for everyone. And it's important that you answer as if you were a child, or this is not going to work. But let's say you were hungry at this very moment. Like, you came in, you skipped breakfast, you came in, you're hungry, and I were to offer you two cups, one with the yummy candies in it, and one with a nutritious orange. Which cup do you think they would take?
Candy.
The candy, yes, the candy. But we might question why the candy, right? Is it tastes good because it's yummy, it is delicious, and maybe the real hunger in the moment is not for something true and nutritious, but just because it feels good. And later, or maybe at some point, we realize that the candy isn't going to make us healthy. We might have some woes later when our teeth fall out because they're rotten. And there might be, it doesn't make us feel good in the long term. We might realize at some point that what we really hunger for is something really good and nutritious to eat. What we're hungry for is health. One comes in one cup, and the other happiness is sort of short-lived. And so Jesus today, in his teaching that we know as the Sermon on the Mount, is asking us, which one do we truly hunger for? Are we truly hungering for some pleasure, or are we really hungering for the presence of God, which is our hope, our healing, and our true source of every blessing? So let us pray. And ask you to extend your hands on the count of three. We'll bring them together as if we were praying. One, two, three. And repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for the hunger that drives us to you.
Thank you for the hunger that drives us to you.
Amen.
Amen.
Feeding those who hunger, make Good morning.
Good morning.
First reading this morning is Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 through 10. Hear now the word. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart, to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm may be found on page 4 of your bulletin. It is Psalm 1. Happy are they. Please read the dark after I read the light. Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful.
Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on God's teaching day and night.
They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper.
It is not so with the wicked. They are like chaff which the wind blows away.
Therefore the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous.
The Lord knows the ways of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall be destroyed.
Second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 20. Hear now the word. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what the ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what the ancestors did to the false prophets. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, friends, last week was the Super Bowl. And whether or not you are still flying high with the euphoria of it, or if you're distressed by the results, or even if you're indifferent, that's okay too. But I want to draw your attention back to these things, these sporting events that we attend and watch, to illustrate something in our gospel today. Because sure enough, on Sunday, a lot of the commentary was on this one thing. And it's the same commentary we see everywhere in these events. If you watch the Olympics, you are familiar with the fact that about half the coverage of the Olympics is not on the events, but on the athlete story, the athlete's struggles, how they've overcome. And sure enough, at the Super Bowl, there was plenty of stories of the individual people and what they've gone through to get to this moment. And the metaphor that is always used is that they were hungry. They were hungry for this moment to be on the field. They were hungry. And it's the hunger, the yearning that causes them then to seek to manifest the answer to that hunger. And we see this sometimes when there is a reigning champion on the field and then an upstart contender. And we go, yes, the person who's already won this, they have some kind of advantage of skill and experience. But that contender, they actually might have the advantage because they are more hungry. They're going to run that extra mile. They're going to do those extra push-ups, extra 20 minutes, the extra effort. They may transform their lives more so that when they reach that field, they may manifest what they want. We might even say, and this will be shocking, blessed is the hungry athlete, for they will receive. And of course, in surfing, hunger is also used as a metaphor. Are you really hungry for that wave? Are you hungry for that moment? Pure spirit and energy and grace. And if you're hungry for that, well, friends, that's a hunger that lasts way beyond the water. It's a hunger that infuses you beyond that hour or so you're in the water, but encapsulates your whole day. You change how you live, how you work out, how you eat, you go to sleep hungry even though most of your time is spent outside the water. It seems like every decision is made to captivate what may happen when you get there, so that when the moment comes, you can fully live into that moment. May this reflection help us a bit as we tend to Jesus' words. And we'll be in this sermon on the plain for the next 2 weeks. So at least I have another week to, if I don't say it enough. And this is one of the most deepest passages of Jesus' teaching. We could probably spend the next whole year on this passage and still not even get half an inch into the depth of what Jesus is saying. But I will draw your attention to what Jesus says. Blessed are the hungry. The call here, or the question for us all to ask ourselves, is for what are we hungry? For what are we hungry for? And in this sermon of Jesus, with whose depths we will never be able to get to the bottom of, there is a transformed vision of reality. This harkens back to something I've said before, and I'll say again a lot. Remember Jesus' first words, repent and believe. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Repent really has the meaning of change your and when we come into this sermon, it is change your mind about what God really values. The first transformation is to understand the different value systems at work. This will help us understand what Paul says when he says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is perfect and holy. If we don't know what God wants, it's hard to discern this. It's hard to have divine values unless we understand what these divine values are. And so Jesus is teaching us, transforming our minds to understand what it is truly that is the value of God. What are you hungry for? God's value system is different from ours. God values life, love, holiness. These are things that are eternal, that will exist forever. But yet often we are caught up with our hunger for things that will not last, for things that have no eternal meaning. We spend our lives in the pursuits of riches, esteem, fame, comfort, and yet all of that will fade. Richard Rohr, in his a great spiritual teacher of our faith, always is talking about the two stages of life. That stage when you're young and you're ambitious and you are all about filling up this cup, which is your life. And you fill it up with things, with riches, with esteem. And then at some point, something will happen. A tragedy, life, health. And that second stage of your life is all about losing all those things. And of course, death makes this an inevitability. inevitable. Thank you. Our mortality makes these things, this second stage of life, your future. But how we face that second half determines what we value. If we understand that what really matters, what really is eternal, is God's presence, is love, faith, and hope. My friends, these things are eternal. If this is what we hunger for in this lifetime, this is what we will manifest in this lifetime. And we have the second great benefit of saying, hey, if you fail at it, if you fail at hope, love, and peace, if you fail at trying to accomplish God's presence in your life, the worst thing that you can say about yourself is, I have not accomplished it yet. And so Jesus asks us, what are we hungry for? And he gives us this beautiful sermon. But it's not just a sermon about how to live. It's a sermon of who Jesus is. These Beatitudes, these blessed are, is our window into the heart of God. And Jesus is the one who hungers for righteousness, the one who weeps for, the one who gave up all things for us. But Jesus isn't just someone to say a blessing. Jesus is our blessing. He is our life. He went all the way to the cross so that sin, death, and suffering will be no more. And we are blessed because of his life. Because now that resurrected life is in us. And we are moving to the point of fullness. And so we have meals, we have sacraments. And here again, friends, the bread is here. The blessing of Christ is here. We come, we eat, because God is with us. Because this is God's life in us. And then we go out into this world. Friends, think of this loaf of bread. I've said a lot about bodies the last couple of weeks. And I'll say this more again next week. Look forward to that. But a loaf of bread. How many pieces of a bread, a loaf, can you break out? Lots, hundreds, thousands. Is it anything but one loaf of bread? You see, no matter how many times we take this Christ's body and break it, it is still one body. It is still one loaf. No matter how many of us there are that are Christ's body, yet it is still one sacred body of God in the world for us. So we can go out and see that the body, the one body, is all around us. And I would like to conclude just with one thought. Let's bring back the athlete in the room. And let's remember what I've already said. The athlete of that great moment of the big game, or for me, the moment where I finally catch that wave, is but a fraction of all the time you have spent hungry for that moment. And church is much like the same thing for us, friends. If this is the only week, only hour in the week where you see and experience the presence of God, if this is the only hour where you come up and you touch God in bread, well then, great and holy, that is a great place to start, friends. But most of our time is spent outside these walls. And we're invited to live into, to grow into this awareness that God is mostly outside this building. What better way to grow into that is to know that God is always here, that we are always reaching out and touching the body of Christ. It's not an either or, but it's a fullness of. May our experience together in church, may our experience in the sacraments lead us to a deeper recognition of God's presence everywhere. And may we learn hunger for that. Because blessed is he who hungers. Amen.
Longing in our
the Spirit of Christ shining upon us, let us boldly pray for the church, the world, and all of our creation. Blessed is your church, transformed by your Spirit. Give us courage to proclaim to all people the promises made true in the death and resurrection of Christ. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Blessed is creation, as earth experiences destruction from harmful practices and climate change. Give us courage to help bring about its restoration. Encourage those who work in forestry to be a voice for the hidden places of creation and provide skills for its conservation. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Blessed are the nations. We pray for presidents, prime ministers, and leaders of nations. Grant that their courage will not run dry in the face of challenge, but that they will delight in the fountain of your righteousness. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Blessed are those in need. Give to all facing illness wise and caring doctors, nurses, and therapists. Draw close to those who feel far from you or who are suffering in any way, especially Joe, Mary, Fran, Carol, Misty, Melissa, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmar, Michael, David, Marty, Victor, Corinne, Dan, Gary, Julie, Sandra, Paul, Jan, family of Eric Flosinger, California fires, victims of the war around the world, and natural world disasters. Provide an extra measure of your grace and love, God of grace.
Hear our prayer.
Blessed is this congregation. Like a tree planted by streams of water, we are nourished by faith in you. Provide courage in times that feel dry, trusting that you sustain us in many ways. God of grace.
Hear our prayer.
Blessed are those saints who now rest in your peace. Through lives of both sorrow and joy, challenge and triumph, they provide witness of faith at all times. May their lives be a witness to the living. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
We entrust our prayers to you, O God, in the sure and certain hope that your promises are revealed among the people.
Amen.
Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you.
Thank you.
Invite us all now to rise again, if you are able, for our offering hymn. Bless we who offer to you our service, our gifts, our abilities, and our hearts. Let us overflow with gratitude and generosity, now and always.
Amen. Into the future.
We bless you, O God.
We give our thanks for your dear Son, at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, with us now.
We thank you, O God.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering his love for us on the way, at the table, and to the end, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We pray for the gifts of your Spirit in our gathering, within this meal, among your people, throughout the world. Blessing, praise, and thanks to you, Holy God, through Christ Jesus, by your Spirit, in your church, without end.
Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come,
your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Friends, in a moment, the usher will come forward, and we will ask you to form a line, and then fill in our communion rail from right to left. This is an open table. All are welcome to come. And when you come, you may receive communion, either standing or kneeling. We simply ask you to come with your hand extended out to receive the elements in your hand. And then when the wine comes around, to either reach in and take the red cup, which is wine, or the clear cup, which is grape juice. If you wish to come and receive a blessing, you can come with your arms folded, a prayer will be said over you. But know that this is God's table for all the people of God. And all who come forward will receive at this table. Amen. And may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior keep us in grace.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. Nourishing God, at this table you have refreshed us with holy gifts of food and drink. Strengthen us for service and send us out to embody your good news of liberation and healing. for the sake of the world. In the name of Christ, we pray.
Amen.
And friends, before the blessing, we just had, we're just pause for some announcements. And again, we want to heartily welcome all of our visitors and friends, and heartily invite everybody here to go into the narthex after the dismissal and enjoy our library Sunday celebration. We're going to play bingo. We got some gifts you can win, and it's like it's a fun little bingo game, mini bingo. So please go out, get some food, come grab a table, enjoy the fun and fellowship, and meet some people. And all are invited for that. So please feel invited for our Library Sunday. And then later this week, on Wednesday, we will have our Wednesday evening soup and hold an evening prayer service starting at 6. We're still looking for some people to help out at that event this Wednesday. So if you'd like to bring the soup, help clean up, or set up, let us know. And it's our warm-up for Lent, because Lent is right around the corner. A lot of new things, a lot of different events going on at Lent that we'll be announcing in the next couple weeks. So hopefully we would like to bring Lent in a more meaningful way, or deepen the meaning of Lent this year. So some opportunities will be presented. And with all that, and I'm sure I'm forgetting something, please refer to your words of the week and all the events of the church. And now let us prepare our hearts for the Sunday. The Spirit of the Triune God bless you with joy, anoint you with compassion, and send you in love.
Amen.
Portion of wheat, no
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.